This morning, a new statue of John Gilbert Winant was unveiled in Concord, New Hampshire. Winant was a three-term governor of New Hampshire and the U.S. ambassador to the United Kingdom during World War II. But his tragic death, in many ways, has always overshadowed his life. Todd Bookman of Here and Now contributor New Hampshire Public Radio has this profile.
More than anything he accomplished, any legislation or high-profile position, John Winant's personality remains his legacy.
Well, he was a very charming individual, apparently.
This is Dick Hesse, professor emeritus at the University of New Hampshire School of Law and a Winant fan.
It was said that when he walked into a room, women immediately fell in love with him. I'm not quite sure what to make of that, but in any event.
Maybe it was Winant's neatly parted black hair or his thick, bushy eyebrows. Tall and thin, he earned comparisons in both demeanor and appearance to Abraham Lincoln. Winant was born in New York City in 1889 and sent to the elite St. Paul's School in Concord, New Hampshire for his education. Another admirer of John Winant is Steve Shurtleff, the New Hampshire House Democratic leader. After teaching at St. Paul's for a few years, Winant enlisted in World War I.
Yeah, he was in the Army Air Corps. He was a flyer and rose to the rank of captain.
Winant led an observation squadron behind enemy lines. It was dangerous work.
He was decorated for his service, but very humble about what he did.
After the war, Winant came back to Concord and in 1924 ran for governor as a progressive Republican. Hesse says his platform was focused on the working class.
And so his mission was shorter working hours, better working conditions, particularly for women, some sort of child labor regulation. These were the primary concerns.
After a few years out of office, Winant regained the governor's seat just as the Great Depression was taking hold. His personal acts of charity would become legend, says Shurtleff.
There's a story about one time the governor coming in the middle of winter into the governor's office, and he had no top coat, and he was wet because it was snowing out. And they said, "Governor, where's your jet coat?" And he said, "Well, I saw somebody on the way in today that needed it more, and I gave it to him." That was Governor Winant.
The next stage in Winant's life would take place in Europe. In late 1940, London was a city under siege from relentless German bombers.
You know, it really looked bad. They were holding on by the skin of their teeth.
That's Lynn Olson, an historian who has written about Winant. The then ambassador, Joseph Kennedy, considered England a lost cause. He wanted out. FDR would turn to John Winant as the next ambassador. He showed the citizens of London, immediately upon his arrival, that America stood with them.
And the first thing he said when he got to England was, there's no place I'd rather be.
Mr. John G. Winant stepped from his plane, which was an hour ahead of schedule, and a few moments later he was with the Duke of Kent, who had flown to meet him.
I haven't much to say. I am very glad to be here. There's no place I'd rather be at this time than in England.
On his way to London.
London was living on the edge, and Winant lived on the edge with them. During the air raids, he'd walk the streets and help people out of the rubble.
And as a result, the British loved him.
That popularity helped draw Winant into the inner circle of Prime Minister Winston Churchill. The American ambassador was in Churchill's company the night news broke of Pearl Harbor. He spent many nights with the Churchill family. Winant, at this point, didn't have much family of his own. Again, Steve Shurtleff.
Governor Winant, for some years, had been estranged from his own wife, and it was a very rocky relationship. He fell in love with Winston Churchill's daughter, Sarah.
Sarah Churchill was ending her own failed marriage, and the two would become pretty close. So close, in fact, that as Winant's days in England were coming to a close, he asked Sarah Churchill to marry him.
But she told the governor, "No, I've got things I want to do. I just got out of a marriage. I don't want to get into another one."
In 1946, Winant came back to Concord, New Hampshire alone. Dick Hesse says he was brokenhearted, his political future uncertain.
He was working on his memoirs. He was in ill health. He was a disappointed lover.
Winant, at one time a millionaire, was also deeply in debt.
It all came crashing down in November of 1947.
Steve Shurtleff recounts Winant's last moments.
Sadly, he went to his second floor bedroom and looking out at the hills that he used to walk through as a student and instructor at St. Paul's, he sadly took his own life with a 25-millimeter gun.
While English royalty marked his death and contributions in life, in the United States, in New Hampshire, the suicide was just too taboo. He was simply gone.
He disappeared.
Today, the remains of John Wynant are in a small cemetery on the campus of St. Paul's School, his alma mater. That's where Mike Hirschfeld is the rector.
The beginning of his epitaph, which are words that he spoke in 1946, go like this. Doing the day's work day by day, doing a little, adding a little, broadening our bases, wanting not only for ourselves, but for others. Wonderful expression of I think of our highest hopes as a country and as a people.
That expression of service, that Lincoln-like way Wynant had of connecting, there's a hint of that in the design of the new statue of him in Concord, New Hampshire. Wynant is wearing a suit and tie, his overcoat draped over his arm, posed with his hat in hand. A humble man in life and in death. For Here and Now, I'm Todd Bookman.